Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast. Listen, if you want hacks, my friend, I'm afraid you're in the wrong place. Our philosophy has grown out of the 10K Collective London Masterminds. Members, by the way, make between $500,000 and $7 million a year in e-commerce, most on Amazon. Many have doubled revenue in the last 12 to 18 months. If you're that kind of person, this podcast is made for you. We're not puritanical. We use hacks. We just don't think you should focus on them if you're building a real business. Instead, we focus on what's been proven to work in the group. Real brand building, clear strategic objectives, courageous long-term goals, and long-range thinking. If you like that focus, keep listening, and welcome to the 10K Collective. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. This is the 10K Collective podcast for six, seven, eight figure Amazon sellers. And delighted to welcome back Mike Zagari from PPC Entourage, who's been on the amazing FBA podcast before. So Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? So excited to be back. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. Nice to hear the crisp audio sound. We were working on that before the podcast. Delighted to bring you up in levels of the crisp audio. Obsessed with when you're doing podcasting. Anyway, so Mike, give us a little bit of background about yourself and PPC Entourage. Who are we talking to, and you know, what's PPC Entourage?
Absolutely, yeah. So I am a recovering physical therapist. So I did physical therapy for 10 years. My hair was falling out. Really did not like it one bit. Thankfully, Amazon FBA came my way after several failed business attempts. And in 2015-16, we went all in on Amazon FBA, and specifically all in on PPC. I remember that being the number one thing on my big dream whiteboard, 2016 whiteboard of things I wanted to accomplish. And we learned PPC in and out. It helped us to scale our business. And then I realized that this is something that a lot of other sellers could benefit from. So we turned that into the software that is now PPC Entourage. So that was in 2016. And we've grown that business ever since. And we have some exciting things going on there as well.
Excellent. I believe we're going to be talking about margins today, because that sounds like an interesting thing to introduce into the debate when you're talking about PPC. Normally, we're talking about, you know, how you structure your campaigns and that kind of thing. And obviously, that is very important, and we can touch on all that. But tell me a bit more about this entire approach. What's the connection between your margins and your PPC?
Right. So the connection between margins and PPC, basically, I'm going to go back to the summer of 2017. And in the summer of 2017, we realized that we were being overcharged on our FBA fees for one of our SKUs that was selling up to 100 units per day. And we didn't catch it for a couple of weeks. And we realized that we were being overcharged by potentially, it was thousands and thousands of dollars. So we had one of our VAs go in and collect all of those orders and submit to Amazon and show them, hey, we're being overcharged. And unfortunately, we did not get reimbursed for that, but Amazon did remeasure it. And then the future units that we sold were accurately charged with the correct FBA fees. Now, why do I bring that up? We realized that, wow, that had a massive impact on our margins. I mean, I'm talking like 30% of our margins went towards that one mistake. And then we started to realize, well, how can we manage this better? How can we track all of this better? And what are all of the different margin eaters that we call them? Everything that goes into your Amazon business that chips away at your margins that we have to take a look at on a regular basis, and we have to track. Because if any of these margins get out of control, it's going to have a big impact on your business. And at the end of the day, you're going to be left wondering where your cash flow is and where your money is. So that's how it all came about.
Cool. Yeah. The thing about PPC as well is that famously Amazon has decided quite consciously to make a lot more money from it, because the two profitable bits of Amazon are MWS, the service side of it, which is amazing considering they deliberately priced it to be cheaper, so cheap that Google and Apple couldn't be bothered to go into it. And the other thing, less surprisingly to us as Amazon sellers, of course, is the old Amazon ads. And I think the revenue's risen from 2 billion to 10 billion in about a year or something along those lines, right? So unsurprisingly, it's very likely to be taking a lot of money out of your pocket and putting it into Amazon's. But so tell me about the margin eaters. They're clearly going to have a big impact on the bottom line and the margin as well, you know, gross margin. But how does that relate specifically to PPC? What are the big candidates for margin eaters, as you put it? What are the big mistakes you see?
Right. So Amazon has lots of different fees, and we call those all margin eaters, and they all impact your margin and your bottom line and your cash flow. So the number one, what we call margin eater, is the FBA fees. And just keep in mind, guys, that if you have excessive FBA fees, excessive promo fees, if your cost of goods are too high, how that relates to PPC is that you'll have less money to spend on PPC. And that could mean you could have to be less aggressive in launching that product or getting eyeballs to your product. So the number one marginator is FBA fees. That takes away the most amount of margin. And Amazon does make mistakes there. So Michael, we could talk all about that, you know, in a little bit. But the number two biggest margin eater is PPC ad spend. So knowing that this is a big margin eater, it's important to know what your ad spend margin impact should be, meaning how much does your ad spend impact your overall margins for that particular SKU? And we look at things on an individual SKU by SKU basis. So obviously, if you have a product that has high margins to begin with, low FBA fees, low promo fees, low returns, all that kind of stuff, you're going to have more that you could potentially spend on PPC. But where sellers get into trouble is that they don't know the impact of all of these other margin eaters on their business. And then they start to be aggressive with their PPC. And before you know it, they're actually spending more money than they're actually making, wondering where their cash flow is. So that's how it relates to PPC. And here's a little metric that I spoke with Cindy Thomason, she's really well known, and she wrote the book Profit First for e-commerce sellers. So she states that 30% profit margin after all is said and done is necessary. Now that's before business expenses. So when you're selling on Amazon, you have a SKU. If you're left over with 30% profit margins or more, then you have enough money to pile back into your business. You have enough money to pay yourself, and you have enough money to reinvest in inventory and operating expenses. So that's the target. And our goal is to help sellers realize where their margins are being crushed and how they can incrementally make improvements on a SKU by SKU basis.
Makes a great deal of sense. I mean, I think it's always been important. And one of the shocking things, a lot of people, as you say, it's very easy to focus on revenue or even market share, even though that's more sophisticated than most people's thinking. In other words, it's not about your revenue per se, it's about how dominant you are in your market. But that can be a whole big distraction, I think, from the painful reality of your margins. So, okay. So number one margin eater is FBA fees. You mentioned that yourself. So we ought to look at that since it's the number one candidate to, you know, improve things if we get it right. Tell me about the main mistakes that you see that Amazon makes in handling that.
Right. So the first thing is not knowing the impact it has on your margins. If it should be somewhere between 25 and 40%, although I've seen it as low as 16% margin impact, which is really good. If you have a 16% margin impact, it usually means you have a really high ticket item that's very small and lightweight, which is like gold, because FBA fees are going to be really a smaller percentage of your margin impact. So anywhere between 25 to 40%, obviously the lower the better in terms of your FBA fees. The next most important thing to know is what are the dimensions of your packaging? And how much does your package weigh? That information is critical. You want to get that from your supplier, and you want to keep that on hand for all of your SKUs, because you're probably going to notice once you track this stuff, Amazon makes mistakes. They mismeasure a product. There's several reasons why this happens. You could have like a hijacker, somebody selling your product, and they put it in a new box. And now Amazon is charging you for a larger size box that has higher dimensional weight. And now they're going to charge you even more for the units that you sell going forward, unless you stop it in its track and you have it remeasured. So knowing what your package dimension is another critical step that Amazon sellers could take. And the third one is tracking this, because I can tell you the number one, it's nearly impossible to get your money back. Amazon owes us about $50,000. I think I'm being conservative. And if I would have tracked this earlier on, if I would have had a system in place and probably would have had at least 70% of that back in our wallet. So tracking this and prevention is key. Knowing your dimensions and making sure you know how much Amazon's supposed to charge you, and making sure they don't go above that, because they won't easily give it back.
That's absolutely true. I mean, we have done, neatly enough, that segues into another episode we've done, which has been published before this, actually, with Ben Chambers of Refund Hunter, because that is a known problem. And sometimes Amazon, owes, if you're doing a few $100,000 a month on Amazon for a few months, you could well be owed $100,000 to $200,000 after a big like Q4 or something. So it's a huge problem. You're absolutely right. But yeah, as ever, prevention is better than cure. And if you do need the cure, Refund Hunter could be the answer, or somebody who does that kind of service. But okay, so the just to summarize what you're saying, the range needs to be kept within norms, 25 to 40%, 15% is really good. You need to get your own independent packaging measures. And I think, yeah, and tracking it, I guess the mentality we need to have is that we don't treat Amazon as an extension of our own business, but we recognize they are a separate and potentially competing business. They don't have our interests at heart, and we need to take our own responsibility for our own in-house accurate measurements, right?
Absolutely. It's you know, it's a great opportunity, but it's also a massive operation that they're undertaking. So whether they do it purposely just to increase their bottom line, hopefully that's not the case, or they just make mistakes. You know, things are going to happen. I'd like to think it's the latter. It's going to happen, and that mistake could have a massive impact on your bottom line and your ability to put money back into your business or your own wallet.
Okay, so you've made the issues very clear. So I guess the next obvious question is how to correct them. So the first one is the range being outside the WAC. What, how do you sort of spot that, and how do you deal with that?
Well, you could track this manually, but I think it would be a challenge. This is the reason why we came up with margins. We wanted to track the FBA fees. We wanted to see overall on a gross level across the entire account, what was our FBA fee margin impact? And I want to see that in a chart over a period of time to see if it's trending up or down. The next thing is I want to know on a SKU by SKU variation level, how much impact FBA fees are having on a SKU by SKU level. So what we do is we track that inside of the system, and you can clearly see when Amazon makes mistakes. It just jumps up and then it just stays up there. As an example, we sell pet food trays and we have 6 different color variations. Now, typically we spend on a day where Amazon's not making a mistake, $5.73 in FBA fees in the USA market. Now, unfortunately, for one of our SKUs, it gets remeasured often and improperly measured, and it goes up to $11.50. So our system will pull that information and you'll see a spike right away. And on top of that, you can set an alert so that if that happens, you get an alert sent to your email. This way, you click on the SKU inside of the system and you can generate a ticket, send that over to Amazon, which has all of your product dimensions, all of your weight. This, because you have this information, you put it into the system, we store it in our system, then you send that over to Amazon. And this way, a problem that could take 3, 4, 5 weeks before you even notice it gets noticed right away, and you take action right away and you minimize the impact of Amazon's mistakes.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, so you notice the impact straight away. It's very important in terms of cash flow, because even if you are owed money by Amazon, they make a mistake and you get the money back out of them. If it costs 3 months of your time, then that's really not going to be very helpful if they've done it across multiple SKUs. I mean, what sort of, presumably the sort of thing you can track if you've got 1 or 2 SKUs, maybe if you've got 10 SKUs, is there a sort of number that you find this kind of automated system needs to be used above, a number of SKUs?
For this particular thing, I would say at any amount of SKUs, only because the other way to do this is you'd have to go into your balance and look at the transactions every single day. And you can then go and see, okay, is the FBA fee reasonable? That's how we used to do it. And then with that way, I would forget to do it, or I'd have a VA do it, and we wouldn't catch the issues as soon as we could. So if you do have 1 or 2 SKUs, you could do it that way. I just highly recommend doing it at least on a weekly basis to make sure you can catch any errors right away. And then go through all your transactions and see if Amazon charges you too much on FBA fees.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that a lot of software like yourself, I mean, I know that for the most famous example of SaaS, probably software as a service within the Amazon space, is probably Jungle Scout these days. And I know that Greg Mercer started off having a team of VAs doing his research, and he thought, you know, I could automate a lot of this. So I guess what you're saying is, yeah, you can do all this stuff manually. But as you say, the trouble with manual is you have to remember to do it, and then you have to spot things cleanly as well. And particularly with VAs, I've been training up VAs more for the podcast side than Amazon recently, but it's amazing how you think you've said something really super clear, but when you've done something yourself day in, day out for 3 years, it's easy to think you've delegated, but the other person doesn't really know what you're talking about. So again, you know, there's probably more cost to getting it done than you realize, right? So tell me about parent and child variations, because that's obviously potentially another massive area for confusion. I know a lot of people, probably wisely, have a lot of variations per parent SKU. How do you deal with that?
It's important to know the impact that all of these different margin eaters have on each one of your parent-child variations. You may find that some have more margin at the end of the day than other parent-child variations. So the way we look at this is I kind of use Entourage margins as a diagnostic tool, and I'll go in I'll see on a parent level, I can see all of my parent level SKUs and see what my margin is at the end of the day after all of these margin eaters. Then if you click on the little arrow, you can see all the child variations and then see which ones have more margins than others. Some products will have very little margin, and that's when you have to go in and diagnose the issue. Are you spending too much money on PPC? Are the returns too high? Do you have a promo code that has gone wild? Do you have an FBA fee that is off the chain? Is it a storage fee issue? Have you had those units there for too long, and now those storage fees, which is another margin eater, is starting to impact your bottom line for that particular SKU? So you may find that if you track your individual SKU margin, then you can make better decisions. So if you track your margins, you can then get rid of the products that are just not performing well. And that's super important, because then you could distribute your cash and your resources to either new products or new other opportunities that are out there. And there's so many opportunities that are out there. But if you're tying your cash up on a product that has low margins, that's kind of just sitting around, that's really not worth reinvesting in, that's when you know you have to start to pivot and make a better decision with your cash.
So I want to come back to that idea, because this is always very interesting discussion with Amazon sellers. Just first of all, just run over again for me what those were. So the margin eaters that you might find in a child variation is the FBA fees too high, storage fee, which is a very good point. Actually, we often forget about the cost of that. PPC spend, you were mentioning a couple of other things. Oh, was it the voucher that's got out of hand or something like that? Or
Yeah. So let's review all the FBA, all the margin eaters. We have the FBA fees. That's the biggest one. Then we have PPC ad spend. That includes sponsored brand ad spend. Then we have the coupons and promotions or vouchers in the UK. It's all the bundled under one thing. Also, lightning deals is bundled into that category as well. So all of those have an impact as well. And we try to target between 2 and 5% margin impact for those margin eaters. We call those promo fees margin impact. The next we have our returns, which can be really a big problem for a lot of sellers. That should be between, I think we have that between 2%, 2 to 3% return fee margin impact. And lastly, we have storage fees. Okay, so storage fees tends to be less than 1%, but if you have long-term storage, that could really add up if your products are inside of Seller Central for more than a year. The other thing that I didn't mention here is cost of goods margin impact. So you want to make sure that you have a product that isn't too expensive relative to your selling price. Otherwise, your cost of good margin impact is going to be too high from the very get-go. All right. So those are all of the different margin eaters from an Amazon side. Of course, then you have to layer in your business expenses and anything else that you pay within your business, all of which you can do inside of margins. You can add all that stuff so you know at the end of the day exactly how much you're actually making.
Okay, so you deal with overheads then?
Yeah, so right now it's just a manual entry. You can add that in and then look back on the month and see exactly your net profit margin at the end of the month. After all of Amazon's impact with their FBA fees and all that, after your cost of goods, and really know exactly how much you're making.
Cool. All right. Well, that's good that you have the possibility. Yeah. I mean, I think overhead, to be honest, is the thing that creeps up if you're not careful. But yeah, I mean, these other things, as you say, things like returns and storage fees, we forget to factor in. And as you say, returns can be quite big. And certain markets, I mean, for example, if you're selling clothing to Germans, you're not looking at 2 to 3% return rate. You're looking at maybe 10%. Now, that doesn't mean that's the impact on your bottom line, but it's certainly or your margin rather, but something can be quite big. Now, let's talk about getting rid of underperforming SKUs, because actually, when I discuss that with, you know, pretty serious sellers, so the people we have in the 10K Collective and £1 million Masterminds, and normally doing between $500,000 a year is probably the lowest level and several million. So, you know, not dumb people. But there's often the resistance to getting rid of underperforming SKUs because they quite rightly, from one perspective and not from another, right? So from one perspective, the cash flow perspective, you're not allocating or return on investment, you're not allocating your money where it's getting the greatest return. On the other hand, from the brand exposure perspective, if you've got more products out there visible on a screen or even better in people's houses, even if they're at break even, then that's kind of brand exposure. And also there's blocking out the competition, I suppose, as a third market share kind of level. What's your response to that?
Yeah. So we have a couple of SKUs that are very low margin that do that very same thing, like kind of like a loss leader. They're like 9% margins, but a lot of people buy them. And then we introduce our other product line to those people. On top of that, like you can go to that listing page and you can see other products because we have enhanced brand content and we have it in as part of a category, like a line of products. So it's a great way to show people and showcase our entire product line. So there are situations where it's, you know, it's okay if you can afford it, if your bottom line is good enough and you can actually afford to have a product like that where it just brings more eyeballs in the door. And this particular product too is a consumable. So people come back month in and month out and we may not have to pay for PPC the next time around. So it is a good product. That being said, I think it's just on an individual case-by-case basis. And I would just simply ask, what is the purpose of selling this at a lower margin? Is it going to be a long-term play? Is it just to get my brand out there? Is it going to help exposure to my other products? Am I collecting emails? Maybe it's that's the play there. And that's okay too, because how many times have you heard people say that if you can collect an email address at break even, then it's worth it because you can have a customer for life. And I've heard that over and over and over again. I'm just saying that if it doesn't have that purpose and it's like a product that's just kind of sitting around with low margins and it's just expensive and it's tying up your cash flow, definitely consider chopping it. We call it the chopping block exercise where we just ask ourselves, is this worth keeping around? Does this serve a purpose or is it just dead weight and can we invest in something better?
Yeah, that's great. I love the clarity of thought there. I mean, I would say there's quite a big difference between something with 9% margin and which also is consumable. So the lifetime customer value of that product alone, never mind whether it causes upsells or cross sells, is probably considerably bigger, right? Than just something, even if it's just breaking even and there's no consumable element to it. But also, as you said, the purpose, I think the absolute clear key of that is that you're very, very clear about, you know, it's there to collect emails. So that's like in the information marketing world, you used to talk about a self-liquidating offer, right? So you would want to gain a qualified lead. In other words, getting an email just from somebody who's actually spent money is worth having much more than somebody who might spend money one day. And yeah, if you can do that at break even, you can do that all day long. It makes total sense. But what I often sense without people necessarily being willing to articulate it to themselves or even to a group, but to the self is more important, is that sunk cost thing where you put a lot of time, energy, and money into something and you've got attached to a product, but the raw economics and business logic says you must cut this. Have you experienced that yourself or with your clients?
I can see the writing on the wall for several of our products, and especially some of them that I really am attached to. The margins are starting to shrink to the point where it may not be worth it. So yes, I have not chopped the product because of that yet, but I can see that it's coming and I can understand, you know, all the work you put into it, the differentiation, the hopes, the dreams, maybe it had a product life cycle. You know, what I understand also is that products do have a life cycle. It's usually 3 to 4 years. So we're at the tail end of that for this product. It served us very well, but you can see the margins starting to shrink. And there's going to be a point where PPC gets too expensive, where the competition is too fierce, and we're just not really going to make any profit or margins on that. And then we're going to have to move on. We're going to have to swallow that pill and move on.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I'm not suggesting, by the way, I'm not advocating to anyone that I know without even looking at the details of your account that you should cut everything willy-nilly, and people can be too quick to chop things out. We've had that discussion in the masterminds and we'll continue to have it. It's important to look into it. But thank you for being willing to address that, because it's one thing to just, you know, talk about some neat plug and play software system that helps you get more clarity. But then the question of what you do with it is not an easy one, right? But thank you. That's nice, clear. So, okay, we talked about how to find the problems and we've talked about the connection between that and PPC and how to correct it. So I think we cover most stuff in that place. Tell us a little bit more about the tool itself. So it's called Entourage Margins, is that right? So you've talked about some of how you use it. How do people generally end up using it and what are sort of people's experiences using that?
Right. So when you log in, you can see all of your numbers and you can see how much margin you're making across your account. And it's a great place to start your day because it's a great place to see how well you're doing on an individual SKU by SKU level. So what I'll do is I will go down the first page. I'll see all of the different margin eaters. That's the PPC, FBA fees, returns. We talked about all that. But you can track that over a period of time and you can check for spikes and jumps across your entire account. So you track that and you can check for issues. And then as you go down the page, you can see all of your parents and child broken down very easily to see. And then you could see your product margin for all of those different products. And you could start to see where there's issues. Now, if the goal is 30%, obviously you want to be at 30%. If you start to see things that are like 5, 10, 9%, then you go in there and you could start to use that as a diagnostic tool to see exactly what the issue is. Is it an FBA fee issue? Is it a PPC ad spend issue? Is it a return issue? It could be any one of those things. So then what we have broken down inside of margins is each of the marginators has its own tab. So you can go in there and you can start your investigation for the FBA fees. Then go down the list and look at all your parents and childs and see, okay, which one is the culprit? Why am I spending too much on FBA fees today? Then you can go ahead and do the same thing for PPC. And you could see the PPC ad spend margin impact. And you can start to see, well, this product has 20% PPC ad spend margin impact. That's not cool. It's eating too much into my margins. And on top of that, I have very low organic sales because we track the organic to PPC sales ratio. And we want that to be 80-20. So you can use this as a diagnostic tool. If I'm spending too much on PPC, maybe that's because I've lost keyword tracking, you know? So we track our keywords and we relate it all together. And that's kind of like how we steer the ship in a better direction. Then you can go over to the next tab, which is the promo fees. Maybe you have a promo that's gone wild and too out of control. You can then see which SKU has been impacted too highly by promo fees and then take appropriate action. We're going to be adding a split testing feature in this so you can see the effect on adding a promo to your bottom line, your sales velocity, all that stuff in the future. You know, as it is, Margins is an amazing software, but it's going to be like a foundational piece where we're just going to add so many cool things going forward. So you know, that's how I would use it. And go in there and just start to diagnose what's going on and steer the ship in a healthier direction.
Excellent. Sounds very good. And that's a couple of useful little snippets for us as well, or nuggets, maybe is what I'm looking for. Nuggets. Yeah, gold nuggets. So, for example, the fact that you're aiming for an organic to PPC ratio of about 80-20, that sounds about right. I mean, if anything, possibly better. Presumably, you're talking unit sales, right? So 80-20 in terms of unit sales.
Yeah, so 80% coming from organic and 20% coming from PPC, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to vary a lot, but it's good to have a number for that. And I think actually the fact that you're breaking it down and actually aiming for a number is good. I mean, I think sort of thing that between different markets is going to vary quite a bit, right? But having a number is really important, I think.
Yeah, of course, it's going to vary also on the life cycle of the product. If it's a launch, it's going to be like the other way around, you know, 20-80. But we want it to be more organic than PPC. That's the general goal of that.
Absolutely. Now, you pretty much have to have pretty amazing margins, you know, as in the landed cost would have to be incredibly small percentage of the selling price to make it work any other way, I guess. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, look, this sounds like an amazing tool. We're going to leave this episode at that point. What I would say is that if we can get a video with you doing a quick walkthrough for 10 minutes of the stuff we just discussed, that would be amazing. Obviously, video is an easy way to see the detail of that. So obviously, if people are driving or washing up or whatever, then the audio podcast is still the king for that situation, because they don't want to be driving and looking at a PPC on a screen. That might be lethal. But it'd be great to have you do a shoot for that. And we'll link that in the show notes as well, so that people can see that in detail.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast. I really hope you found the show helpful. I mentioned the London-based masterminds we've been running since September 2017. Members of the 10K Collective Mastermind make a minimum of about £480,000 a year, well over €600,000 or dollars. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, K for kilo, C for Charlie. £1 million mastermind members make a minimum of £1.2 million a year. That's about $1.5 million US dollars or euros. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/MPM. That's M for mother, P for Peter, M for mother. Thanks for listening.